The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Well, we're in a series, The Seasons of the Soul, and we've been looking at the seasons of the year to talk about parts of our lives as God's people. One of the key verses has been Ecclesiastes 3. Let's read this together. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. God has appointed seasons, and we've looked at a few so far. We started with spring. Spring is when everything's growing like crazy, and it's important to make the most of that season, to seize the day or suck the marrow out of life. And then we looked at summer, a harvest, a time of abundance and blessing. And the right way to respond to that is to give thanks to God and to be generous with others with the abundance God gives us. Last week, Pastor Reed talked about the season of autumn, the season of pruning or preparation. God actually wants us to abide in Jesus, to be grafted into him so we can suck, in a sense, draw life from him and bear fruit in our lives. But God also has to do pruning from time to time so the fruit grows thicker and more abundant. Today we look at perhaps the most difficult season of all, the season of winter. Winter is marked by the icy winds of loneliness, the drenching showers of disappointment, the chilly darkness of wondering, where is God in this mess I am in now? Some of the writers have talked about this season as the dark night of the soul. Any of you heard of that? The dark night of the soul. Maybe you felt like that at some times, like you're in this sort of thick, dark spiritual fog and you're wondering, what on earth is God up to? Or maybe after a series of unfortunate events, you're starting to wonder about, well, is God a God of love? How come I don't seem to be experiencing his kindness right now? Does God actually exist? In those winter seasons, we can feel stuck, like nothing is happening. There's no glimmer of light on the horizon. Nothing seems to be getting resolved or answered. Winter can be a dark, cold and lonely place to find ourselves, and yet that experience is not new. Look through the Psalms of the Old Testament, and there are people in that winter season, and what are they doing? They're complaining to God about it. Really important that when we complain, we don't complain about God, but we actually complain to God. Yes? Tell God all about it. He's big enough to handle it. Psalm 13 is one of those sorts of psalms, but through the psalms we get these questions of God. God, why? Why? Why is this happening? And then the other question that the psalms often ask is, how long? How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face, turn away, not paying attention to me anymore? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long? How long? That's the question we ask in the winter season. Is there an end to this, Lord? And then after the complaint, there is actually a plea to God for help. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Who's writing these words? Who's the patron of the Psalms? David. David is the one that God says, oh, that guy David, he's a man after my own heart. This is the David who in the strength of God topped the big bopper Goliath and defeated the Philistines. This is David who doesn't just kill thousands, but tens of thousands, a military general, a hero of the people of Israel. And yet in spite of these great big highs, David also experiences some deep, deep
lows.
Like God has left him to his own devices. And if it can happen to David, it can also happen to us, yeah? If you walk with God for any length of time, you will experience this winter season of the soul at some point on your life, probably at a number of points. A time when you feel abandoned by God, you don't sense the presence of God, you don't sense the smile of God turned towards you, your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling, you just feel like crawling under a rock. Hands up if you've ever experience something like this. Hands up. Okay, keep them up. Keep them up. Okay, the rest of you look around, or everybody look around and see that it's fairly common, yes? Yeah. Let me tell you about a couple of mine. In the early 90s, after a bunch of funerals, a lot of ministry pressures, some conflicts in the congregation, and then Christmas. After that sort of tough season, I was unraveled. Well, thank goodness for holidays, because extended family hired a place in Queensland close to a beach, and it gave me lots of opportunity to sleep. You know, get up in the morning, have breakfast. Oh, I'm tired. I need to go back to bed. Get up, have lunch. Oh, I'm still tired. I need to go back to bed. And this went on for several days. And I was only in my late 20s, I think. And I was thinking, oh, gosh, there must be something really, really bad with me, wrong with me. And then I reflected over all the things that have been happening. And then I'm going, oh, duh, you just need to recharge. And I did, thank God. About 10 years later, during 2002, I was in another winter season, where I was in a pit of despair, not knowing where God was or what on earth I was doing in the congregation I was in. Where, God, where are you? What am I doing here? And there have been several times since which have been winter seasons of the soul. There are two really important things to remember in the winter season. The first is this: life is seasonal. There's a start to a season, yes, and a finish to the season. It's not going to be forever. The second thing, in every season, God is actually at work according to his purposes, even though you may not yet see it. Let me explain. Jesus hints at this in the parable of the growing seed. A farmer goes out, throws out the seed, it goes into the ground, and for a long time it seems that nothing is happening. Weeks can go past. And one day the farmer goes out and he goes, oh, look at that. The seed has sprouted and come up through the ground. And Jesus highlights this. He says, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Friends, life is a mystery. We cannot control everything that happens in our lives, can we? And we can't fix everything that goes wrong. Sometimes we just need to wait when nothing is happening much. To wait on the Lord. That's really, really difficult for we Westerners. You know, I like to get in there and fix things. I like to fix things. I'm a man. I like to fix things. There are times in life where you cannot fix things. And God says, I just want you to be still. I want you to be quiet. I actually want you to know that I am God, not you. And I want you to trust me. Trust me that I'm going to bring you through this season out of winter into a season of, what comes next? Spring. Yes, thank you, Noah. Kids, they know the answers. Season will pass. Last week we talked about pruning. Jesus, listen to what Jesus says about planting. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the soil, dead to the world, It is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. Note the word unless. You could substitute that with, it is necessary for a grain of wheat to be buried in the ground. And notice how Jesus connects death and planting. His own death and burial is like a single seed that goes into the ground, yes? That was Good Friday. What happened on Saturday? Waiting. It seems like absolutely nothing is happening until Sunday. And what happens? He's raised to life again. And in the life and the resurrection of Jesus is a guarantee of a huge harvest. When I am glorified and raised up, I will draw all people to myself. That's on the heart of God, to bring in a huge harvest. Winter, it is a time when things die off, but also it leads to new life. Now, that winter season often has a catalyst. And the catalyst is often death. Death or a crisis or a dramatic change in our lives. It might be our own death as we face our mortality and we think about, what's next? Well, what is it? Life forever with Jesus. It might be the death of a loved one. And then we wonder afterwards, I'm heartbroken. How are things going to be now without that person in my life? It can be the death of a dream or a plan or a desire when it gets dashed on a rock of failure. It's trying hard for something and it just gets smashed to pieces. It could be ongoing criticism or opposition that just bleeds us dry and leaves us empty. And we just end up passionless and going through the motions. It could be the death of a relationship when two people love and enjoy each other, turn away from each other and go separate ways. There is a long grief associated with that as well, a winter season. When we're in that brokenness, when we're in that grief, it can feel as if God has abandoned us. That's how it feels. Isn't that how Jesus felt at the cross? What did he cry? My God, why? Why have you abandoned me? Jesus feels with us in our brokenness and our isolation. Question: while Jesus was abandoned, did God stop loving his son? No? No? How do we know God didn't stop loving his son? He raised him to life again and seated him at his right hand together with him on the throne. Friends, here's the pattern for God's work in our broken world. Death is transformed into resurrection life. But here's the rub. You need to die in order to be resurrected. So winter, it is necessary. It's preparation for the growth. From the death of winter comes the new life of spring. It's part of God's purpose in the season. Okay, well, how do we get through that season of winter? Three things I think are very, very helpful. First of all, God's unfailing love. Go back to Psalm 13. The first opening of the psalm is all doom and gloom. God, where are you? God, you don't care. God, I feel abandoned. Blah, 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 blah. He has a big old complaint to God. He asks God to help. But then we get to verse 5, and it says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. David is always banging on about God's unfailing love. If you read Psalms 50 to 60, when David is pursued through the wilderness by Saul, there's a whole heap of historical markers there, and David always keeps coming back to God's unfailing love. He says, hang on. I know my circumstances are terrible, but I know you love me, Lord. I know that you're never, ever going to stop loving me. We see exactly the same thing in Jesus at the cross. He cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? A little bit later, what does Jesus say? He says, Father, I commit my spirit to you. How can it be he's abandoned one minute and the next minute committing his soul to God Almighty? Well, that prayer of commitment is from Psalm 31. Look it up at home. Jesus is praying the Psalms while he's at the cross. And a bit later in the Psalm, you know what it says? It says this. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Jesus finds refuge in his Father's love. So can we. The second thing, God's promises. When you were growing up as kids, or if you are a kid, and it's winter outside and it's windy and cold, what do your parents tell you to do? Put on a jacket. Why do they tell you to put on a jacket? All right, so you can wrap yourself up and be protected from the elements, because if you get wet, chances are you'll get sick. So it actually protects you and keeps you healthy, yes? I submit to you, friends, that God's promises are like putting on a jacket. God wants us to wrap ourselves up in his promises, because God never breaks his word. God always, always, always keeps his promises. So it's important to know what the promises are. So if you reach a point where you say, oh, have I been abandoned? You say, well, what does God say? What does Jesus say at the end of Matthew? I will be with you always. Bunch of times in Scripture, God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's the promise of God. Wrap yourself up in that. When you find yourself questioning God's love, you say, well, what does Scripture say? What does it say? Romans 8:39, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Wrap yourself up in the promise of God's love for you. When you are facing death yourself, wrap yourself up in the promises of God. John 3:16, can we bring that up? Okay, let's read this together. God's promise. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God's promise for you. Next one, please. Let's read this one. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Next one. Jesus promises, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this? Well, do you?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
All right, so wrap yourself up in that promise, because it will sustain you as you face your own death. I've got to take this off, I'm getting a bit warm. One more thing that's important to help us get through the winter is God's people. We get through winter best by connecting with others in community, with the family of God's people. And that's really interesting, because in our culture, what we tend to do is shy away from church when we're struggling. Who says you've got to put on a happy smile and a fake face when you gather together with God's people? Surely this has got to be a place where we can just be. And it's okay to just be, because God meets us where we are at. I get that sometimes it's hard to be in a group celebrating God's presence when God seems to be absent from us personally. But let me tell you, that is not the time to withdraw. That's the time to press in. As Hebrews says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but to keep getting together. Why? Because more than ever, when you are doing it tough, when things are struggling for you, you need the encouragement and support of other people. You need to hear those promises of God. You need the truth of that God to get into your ears, renew your mind, and bring comfort and transformation to your heart. You need the sacrament of Jesus, where he says, "Here I am. Take and eat, take and drink. Forgiveness, life, salvation. I am with you. I am becoming a part of you." Never, ever doubt that. Let me share with you my experience in 2002. I was driving to a ministry conference on my own. It was a few hours from Canberra. And I didn't know whether I was going to continue in ministry. That's the irony. And as I'm driving along, I'm saying to God, "God, I don't know whether I can keep doing this. You're going to have to do something or change something because I think I'm done." Went to the ministry conference on the last day, it was 2 or 3 days, I can't remember. But there was a communion service and I received the body and blood of Jesus. And an older pastor was willing to lay hands on us and pray for us. So I went to him and he said, "Well, what is it? You know, what's your issue?" And I said, "Oh, just condemnation." So he prayed for me with a laying on of hands. And the despair that I'd been carrying for a long time just lifted. And later that afternoon, I'm driving home with a renewed sense of hope for the future. The winter season had finished and I was going into spring. But get this, that would not have happened if I had moped at home by myself. We need other people. We need others who trust and follow Jesus to warm us up, heal us up, and help us to get through the winter. Don't try to do it alone. You're not meant to. Okay, let's bring this thing to a close. Earlier we said we can't always see what God is up to when we're in the winter season. And in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, we don't see things clearly. We don't see what God is up to. We're not in heaven yet. Once we get to heaven, everything will be clear. But here, things are going to get foggy from time to time. But there's three things that remain. Do you remember what they are? Faith, hope, and love. These three things help get you through the winter. Faith, trust in God's love for you. Trust in God's promises for you. Hope. Set your sights on your destiny. Keep your hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things, because your inheritance is there waiting. And love, rely on the love and support of Christian community. These things will help us get through the winter. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I am mindful that a number of us are in a winter season where it is hard to work out what you're up to and what your purposes are. Lord, help us to find refuge in your love for us in Jesus. For it is in him we see that you have solidarity with us in our brokenness. And yet, Lord, you give us a hope and a future in his resurrection life. Help us to remind one another, Lord, of your promises. For you always keep your promise. You never lie to us. And your promise is to give us a hope and a future. Help us to be a community, Lord, where it's safe to be vulnerable, where it's safe to share our burdens, and so we can come alongside one another and encourage one another in you to remind people that you're still part of what we're on about. Help us to be a safe place where people can grieve, where people can work through the winter season and where you can bring them into a spring season. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and to his glory. Amen.